Akatra Foundation presents the Akatra Dialogue, an exploration of the world's greatest thinkers and ideas. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of Akatra AI. Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're stepping into, well, an extraordinary saga. Two American titans from the same family tree who, against really significant odds and through vastly different paths, fundamentally reshapes the American presidency.
We're talking, of course, about Theodore Roosevelt and Franklin Delano Roosevelt.
Exactly. And our journey today is guided by the monumental work of Edmund Morse, specifically his Pulitzer Prize-winning trilogy on Theodore, T.R., and also his broader book, The Roosevelts, An American Dynasty That Shaped a Nation.
And Morse, he doesn't just give you a timeline, does he? He really digs into the character, those defining moments, the philosophies that, you know, made the Roosevelts almost synonymous with American leadership.
Right. So our mission here is to kind of pull out the most important nuggets, the key insights from Morris's incredibly rich narrative. We want to give you, the listener, a shortcut, if you will, to understanding their huge impact. As we start, what really strikes you as a central thread in Morris's telling of this dynasty?
Well, I think Morris truly excels at showing how these two giants, despite, you know, the shared name and being related, were each forged by unique, really powerful crucibles.
Crucibles, like trials by fire.
Exactly. Right from their earliest years. He doesn't just give us the facts. He tries to uncover the psychological bedrock, you know, what made them tick.
Mm-hmm.
He illustrates how his personal trials ultimately paved the way for their public greatness.
Okay, so let's trace those paths. Morris brings us back to the beginning, and it's maybe not what you'd expect. He doesn't start with the presidential roar, does he?
No, not at all. He starts with a childhood wheeze, literally. Both Theodore and Franklin, despite ending up as these larger-than-life figures, had incredibly distinct formative years, even though, yes, both came from privilege.
Let's start with Theodore. T.R. Morris paints him as sickly.
Yeah, Keedy, they called him. Sickly kid in Manhattan. Severe asthma often kept him indoors. Morris really pinpoints his father, Theodore Sr., a man of incredible energy, civic duty, as just pivotal.
So father's influence seems huge in Waldus's account.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
He captures this defining moment, this challenge from father to son. Basically, you have the mind, but not the body. I'm giving you the tools, but it's up to you to make your body.
Wow. That's not just advice. That's a directive.
It became his mission. Morris shows how T.R. responded with this almost obsessive dedication, a punishing regimen, bodybuilding, boxing, constant outdoor activity. He was deliberately forging his physical self.
And this instilled a core belief.
A lifelong belief that sheer will could conquer any circumstance. You see that theme again and again. Morris portrays him at Harvard as, well, eccentric, fiercely competitive, reading everything, excelling academically, boxing, even writing a serious historical work, The Naval War of 1812, while still a student.
So his whole existence was kind of pushing back against that early frailty.
You could say that, yeah. A defiant act.
Now, Franklin, his distant cousin, a very different start, wasn't it? Morris contrasts them sharply.
A stark contrast, yes.
Yeah.
FDR grew up in the cushioned wealth of Hyde Park, very much under the influence of his mother, Sarah Delano Roosevelt, devoted, but also quite dominant.
So his challenge wasn't physical weakness.
No, not in the same way. Morris argues his challenge was navigating that comfort, finding purpose beyond it. He inherited this strong sense of noblesse oblige, you know, the idea that privilege comes with a duty to serve.
And at Harvard, he was there when T.R. was actually president, right?
He was. Talk about a shadow to be in. FDR was different, more diplomatic, charming, good with people. He edited the Harvard Crimson, student newspaper, already kind of honing those political instincts.
It's fascinating, really. Even that early, you sort of see the outlines, the different styles of leadership beginning to form.
Absolutely. Different paths, different pressures.
Yeah.
And then come the trials, the moments that truly forge them as public figures.
Let's get into those. Theodore Roosevelt faced something just shattering early on.
He did. Valentine's Day, 1884. An unimaginable tragedy. Both his young wife, Alice, and his mother, Mittie, died. Same house, same day.
I can't even fathom that. How does Morris depict his reaction?
He quotes T.R.'s diary entry, just starkly, "The light has gone out of my life." But Morris frames this immense loss, not just as a tragedy, but as that crucial crucible we mentioned.
A turning point born of grief.
Yes. He fled, just ran away to the Dakota Badlands. Raw, brutal landscape. Morris portrays this as a period where T.R. tested himself body and spirit against the elements. He came back. Different. Hardened, self-reliant, this sort of cowboy figure.
Like a rebirth.
Almost exactly. Burning away the Eastern dilettante. Forging that tough, action-oriented persona that became so central to his image and his leadership style later on.
And this transformed man, he then seemed to actively seek out conflict, or at least tests of strength.
He did. He craved martial glory, it seems. The charge up Kettle Hill in 1898, Spanish-American War, leading the Rough Riders. Morris describes it as chaotic, but definitely successful.
And that made him a hero.
Overnight, national hero status, this fame, this image, it propelled him. Governorship of New York, then the party bosses trying to sideline him, put him in the vice presidency.
A classic political maneuver that backfired spectacularly.
Completely, because in 1901, President McKinley was assassinated. And suddenly, T.R., at just 42, is the youngest president ever. And Morris shows him immediately seizing what he famously called the bully pulpit.
Using the presidency as a platform like never before.
Exactly. To advocate, to shape public opinion, to drive his agenda forward.
Such a dramatic path to power. Now, FDR's defining trial, totally different. More internal, wasn't it? And much later in life.
Yes, very different. His crucible was polio. Struck him down in 1921 at Campobello. He was 39. Paralyzed.
And that must have seemed like the absolute end of his political ambitions.
It certainly looked that way. But Morris argues this disaster, this personal catastrophe, became his forge. It taught him things T.R. perhaps never learned in the same way. Patience, deep strategic thinking, and crucially, a profound empathy for human suffering.
And he learned to conceal the extent of his disability too, didn't he?
He did, very carefully projecting strength, optimism, unwavering resolve.
Yeah.
Morris suggests this was a vital lesson for navigating the national crises that lay ahead.
And that strength, that empathy born from his own suffering, it would be essential when he faced the Great Depression.
Absolutely critical. His personal transformation really culminated, you could say, in the launch of the New Deal in 1933. The country was collapsing economically. FDR's first 100 days, just an unprecedented whirlwind of federal action.
Relief and reform.
Both. Immediate relief plus structural reforms. Morris calls it a kind of therapy for a traumatized nation. It fundamentally reshaped the relationship between Americans and their government. It showed a new kind of leadership, one maybe born from that hard-won empathy.
It's just, well, incredible. Two men thrust into leadership, one by sheer force of will, you could say, and a war. The other by personal tragedy and an unexpected political opportunity.
And their individual philosophies, stemming from these lives, really became the bedrock of their presidencies, didn't they? Shaping
yeah.
America for generations.
Let's talk about those philosophies. TR's strenuous life, what was the core of that, according to Morris?
The core belief was that fulfillment comes from struggle, from overcoming obstacles, not from comfort, not from what he called slothful ease. He kind of despised that.
So it was this constant drive to act, to prove oneself, to lead with strength. How did Morris show that playing out in his actual policies?
Well, Morris points to a few things. One, the shadow of his father idolized, yes. But T.R. felt his father hadn't fought in the Civil War, a perceived failing that maybe drove T.R. to prove his own courage.
Interesting psychological angle.
Yeah, and also that fear of weakness, stemming from his sickly childhood. So it manifested in his relentless activity, his love of risk-taking, and his political agenda pushing America onto the world stage, using that big stick foreign policy.
Diplomacy backed by power.
Right. And conservation, too, but very much a utilitarian approach. Managing resources for long-term national benefit. The square deal, he called it fairness for all, achieved through strong federal action.
And FDR's vision, how did that compare? It seems less about individual striving and more about collective security.
Very much so. FDR's vision, profoundly shaped by the Depression, centered on government having a positive role, ensuring basic security, basic opportunity for everyone.
The Four Freedoms speech captures that, doesn't it?
Perfectly. Freedom of speech, freedom of worship, but also freedom from want and freedom from fear. That economic security piece was crucial. His approach, influenced by polio, was more about patience, strategy, inspiration. Maybe less confrontational than TR style.
So for you, the listener, what does this mean? We see these two distinct worldviews, individual charge versus collective safety net. But both believed in a strong, active, moral America.
And Morris is brilliant at showing the human side, too, beyond the policies, the relationships that anchored them or sometimes challenged them.
Mentors seem key for both.
Definitely. For TR, it was always his father, Theodore Sr., his North Star, Morris calls him, a model of strength, civic duty. For FDR, well, TR himself is a huge inspiration, that activist presidency, but also, crucially, Louis Howe.
The political strategist.
Yeah, the sort of rumpled behind-the-scenes guy. Howe provided the strategic cunning that maybe complemented FDR's charm and vision.
And their family lives, marriages, children. Morris delves into that too, right?
Absolutely. T.R.'s first marriage to Alice, brief, tragic.
Huh.
His second, to Edith, Morris portrays as this deep, enduring partnership. She was his ballast, managing his whirlwind life. He was a devoted father, though maybe a bit overwhelming.
And FDR and Eleanor, that's a whole story in itself.
A hugely complex, incredibly influential partnership. Eleanor, remember, was T.R.'s niece. Her own transformation from this shy figure to a global human rights advocate. That's a powerful legacy on its own. She often pushed Franklin, challenged him.
They also faced significant rivals, which often highlights their character, doesn't it?
Oh, yes. T.R. battled powerful party bosses like Senator Platt, took on the corporate giants, the malefactors of great wealth like J.P. Morgan in his trust-busting campaigns, and his most personal tragic rivalry was with Taft, his successor and former friend.
And FDR.
FDR faced populist challengers like Huey Long, fierce opposition from business leaders over the New Deal, and you could even say Woodrow Wilson represented an ideological rival whose approach T.R., especially, often criticized. These weren't just politics. They were tests of will.
But no leader is perfect, and Morris confronts the controversies, the darker aspects of their legacies. These moments really force us to grapple with the complexities of power.
He really doesn't shy away. Take T.R. and the Brownsville Affair in 1906, dishonorably discharging an entire battalion of black soldiers without trial after a shooting. Morris presents it as driven by racial prejudice, a major stain.
Unjust and rash.
Absolutely. Contradicting the principles he supposedly stood for.
And his foreign policy, the big stick, that had its ethical downsides too.
It did. The Panama Canal Zone acquisition is the prime example. Fomenting a revolution in Panama, then part of Colombia, just to get the canal rights. He later bragged, I took the canal zone.
And let Congress debate, yeah.
Critics called it gunboat diplomacy, pure imperialism, driven by his belief in American exceptionalism and the need for power. And then later, his 1912 Bull Moose run.
A spectacular failure.
Politically, yes. Split the Republicans, handed the election to Wilson. Morris calls it a catastrophic miscalculation, bored of ego, maybe, but also principle. He sort of recovered personally, though, with that incredibly dangerous River of Doubt expedition in South America.
It's tough, isn't it? Seeing how even leaders we admire can make these profoundly flawed choices. And FDR, despite his empathy, also faced huge ethical tests, especially during wartime.
He did. The internment of Japanese Americans during World War II, Morris is clear, a major moral failure. Driven by wartime hysteria, yes, but also racial prejudice and military pressure.
Yeah.
A violation of fundamental American ideals.
In the court packing scheme.
His attempt in 1937 to expand the Supreme Court to stop it blocking New Deal legislation, Morris calls it his greatest political miscalculation. It backfired badly, cost him support. He eventually backed down, showing some strategic flexibility, perhaps learned from polio.
So despite the flaws, the controversies, ultimately, both Roosevelts left this huge, indelible mark. They reshaped America.
Fundamentally, T.R.'s biggest legacy is probably creating the modern presidency. Yeah. That dynamic center, the bully pulpit, expanding federal power with the square deal.
And putting America firmly on the world stage.
Yes. Panama Canal, mediating the Russo-Japanese War, the Great White Fleet Tour, asserting American power globally.
And of course, conservation. We feel that legacy every day.
Absolutely. Father of American conservation. Over 230 million acres set aside, Forest Service, national parks, monuments. And his human legacy, just the sheer force of personality, inspiring Eleanor, inspiring Franklin, a testament to self-creation.
And FDR built on that, didn't he?
Yeah.
Expanding government's role even further, defining the modern American state?
He really did. The New Deal created federal responsibility for economic security, social welfare, social security, unemployment insurance. These became permanent parts of American life.
Wartime leadership, too.
Set the template for America's global military and diplomatic role post-war. And culturally, those fireside chats made the presidency feel more intimate, changed how people related to their government. His vision also led to institutions like the UN shaping the post-war world order.
So for you, the listener, it's clear, isn't it? From the environment to social security to how we even think about the presidency, their influence is still incredibly present.
And exploring this through Edmund Morris's lens is quite an experience. His work isn't just history, it's literary.
How so? What's his style like?
It's richly detailed, very immersive, almost novelistic. He brings history alive, captures T.R.'s energy, even his high-pitched voice, his physical presence on the page. You feel like you're there.
Does he admire them?
Oh, profoundly. Almost awe, especially for T.R., whom he seems to view as this heroic, almost Shakespearean figure. But to his credit, he doesn't ignore the flaws, the controversies we discussed.
So it's a deep research combined with compelling storytelling.
Exactly. The strengths are that exhaustive research, the literary quality, the psychological depth. Some critics, though, argue his sympathy sometimes leans towards, well, angiography may be focusing too much on the great man and less on broader societal forces. It's a valid point for discussion with any biography, really.
Okay, as we wrap up this deep dive, let's pull out some final lessons. What universal wisdom can we draw from these two extraordinary lives? Something that still resonates today.
Well, their stories, even though decades old, offer some powerful, timeless insights. Let's try three takeaways. First, maybe an emotional insight. It's about transformation through suffering.
How so?
Both men turned profound personal pain, TR's grief, FDR's polio, into sources of strength, resilience, even empathy that fueled their public lives. It's a striking reminder, isn't it, that our deepest challenges can actually forge our greatest character.
That adversity is a catalyst. It's a powerful idea. Okay, what about intellectually?
An intellectual insight. They literally invented the modern presidency as we know it. They didn't just hold the office, they redefined it. From a mostly administrative role to this dynamic, media-savvy bully pulpit, the central engine of American government, they set the precedents for executive power, for national purpose, that everyone since has had to grapple with.
They changed the job description entirely. That's a huge intellectual shift in how we see government.
Huge. And finally, maybe a universal insight. It's about the strenuous life and the moral obligation that comes with privilege. Their lives scream engagement over apathy, effort over ease.
Stepping into the arena, as TR would say.
Exactly. They showed that privilege isn't just about having advantages. It carries a moral responsibility to serve the community, to strive for causes bigger than yourself. That's a call to action that feels, well, pretty relevant today, doesn't it?
It absolutely does. They remind us leadership isn't just policy papers. It's character forged in fire. It's vision. It's inspiring a nation. The Roosevelt story really forces us to ask, doesn't it? What does it mean now to be in the arena as citizens, as potential leaders? How do we balance our principles with the messy realities of the world just like they had to?
Difficult questions. Always relevant.
To truly get inside the minds of the men who remade America, you really should dive into Edmund Morris's masterful books. And maybe the next time you face a challenge, big or small, you can remember that asthmatic boy who willed himself strong and the paralyzed president who found a way to lead a nation with enduring strength and empathy. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive. Join us next time for a new episode featuring another world-renowned individual, a new book, and a new idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Akatra Foundation.